Welcome to your Azure Deep Dive. You've given us quite the collection of articles and research here about Microsoft Azure. Looks like you're ready to boost your cloud knowledge.
It's a fantastic mix. We've got Azure fundamentals and even some details about virtual machines and databases. So we'll help you figure out the key takeaways and point out some of those aha moments that really make this information stick.
Okay, let's start with the basics. Imagine you're a company that's looking at Azure for the first time. Where do we even begin? There's just so much to explore.
You're absolutely right. There is. It can feel like a massive tech playground. Let's start with the core of what Azure is. It's essentially a vast global network of data centers that Microsoft manages. And you can think of it as a really strong alternative to those traditional on-premises servers. You know, the kind maybe tucked away in a back room somewhere.
So instead of having all those physical servers in our office, we're tapping into Microsoft's infrastructure.
Exactly. And with that shift comes some serious perks. With Azure, you're only using and paying for what you actually need and only when you need it. Let's say you have a big product launch coming up.
Oh, that's a great example.
You can just easily scale up your Azure resources and then scale back down when things quiet down. Plus, you know, you can try out different configurations without having to buy tons of new hardware.
That flexibility sounds like a dream, especially for startups or any business that has to adapt quickly.
Oh, it's a game changer for sure. And, you know, Azure offers these different ways to utilize the cloud through models called IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. Are you familiar with those?
IaaS, PaaS, yeah. SaaS, I've heard of them. But a quick recap would be great.
Absolutely. Let's imagine you're building a house. So IaaS stands for Infrastructure as a Service. It's kind of like buying the plot of land and all of the raw materials. You're responsible for building the entire house. So that means laying the foundation, plumbing, everything. It gives you full control, but it requires a lot of hands-on work.
So with IaaS, you're like the general contractor for your cloud setup.
Exactly. Now, let's say you don't want to handle all the details of building a house from scratch. That's where PaaS comes in, Platform as a Service. It's more like buying a pre-built house. Azure manages the foundation, structure, the basic utilities, and you just focus on decorating and furnishing it, you know, making it your own. It's all about focusing on your application, not the underlying infrastructure.
Makes sense. So then I'm guessing SaaS, or Software as a Service, is like walking into a fully furnished, move-in ready house.
You got it. With SaaS, you're basically using an already made application hosted entirely by the provider. Think of services like Office 365 or Salesforce. You just log in and start using the software. No setup, no maintenance, just pure productivity.
Okay, those analogies make the different cloud models super clear. So Azure gives you options for every level of involvement, like you said, from DIY to fully managed.
Exactly. And Azure actually offers services across all three of these models, which gives you a ton of flexibility to choose the best approach for your needs. Now, let's talk about how you actually manage all these resources in Azure.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've got this incredible cloud platform, but where's the control panel? How do we actually make it work for us?
That's where Azure Resource Manager, or ARM, comes in. It's like the conductor of an orchestra, but for your Azure setup. It allows you to organize all your resources into these nice little groups, which makes it way easier to manage them. You can track costs and ensure everything is working together well.
So ARM is like the command center for our Azure world.
You got it. And one of the coolest things about ARM is the use of templates. Imagine you're baking a cake, right? Instead of measuring every ingredient each time, you have a recipe you can follow and repeat. ARM templates are similar. You can actually define your infrastructure as code, which makes deployments so much faster and repeatable, and there's a much smaller chance for human error.
That's a huge time saver, especially when you're dealing with complex deployments. It's much less stressful than trying to remember every little setting.
Exactly. Now, in your research, you might come across something called the classic deployment model. That's like an older version of Azure's management software. It still works, but if you're starting fresh, stick with ARM. It's the future of Azure.
Makes sense. We want the latest and greatest. Now, let's talk about storage. We've mentioned virtual machines, but where does the data actually live?
Azure Storage is where your data finds its home. Mm-hmm. It's actually a collection of specialized services that are each designed for different types of data. It's not just one big bucket. Think of it as a really well-organized data warehouse where everything has its place.
So Azure Storage is like a Swiss Army knife for data management.
Precisely. Let's start with Blob Storage. It's made for unstructured data, things like files, images, and videos. It's super versatile, and it comes in different, well, I guess you could say, flavors to suit your needs.
Flavors of storage. Tell me more.
Okay, so think of blob storage as a buffet. You've got block blobs, which are ideal for storing large files. You break them down into smaller, more manageable chunks.
Like putting together a giant jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. Then there are page blobs. They're optimized for storing virtual hard disks, or VHDs. Those are the foundation for Azure virtual machines.
So the operating system and everything on our virtual machine lives on these page blobs. They're like little hard drives in the cloud.
Exactly. And last but not least, you've got append blobs. These are great for continuous data, things like logging or tracking events. It's all about having the right tool for the job.
Right. Having the right storage for the type of data makes a lot of sense. And what I find so cool about this is that you only pay for the storage you actually use.
Hmm.
If you delete a blob, no more charges. And there's this thing called cool storage. You can store tons of data you don't need to access all the time at a much lower cost.
Think of it this way. Hot storage is like your everyday work files. You need them readily available. Cool storage is more like that box you have in the attic. Important stuff, but you don't need it every day. This kind of smart tiering is a huge win for cost-conscious cloud users. Saves you money without sacrificing data safety.
I like that. A box in the attic. Now, what about file storage? How's that different?
File storage is all about creating familiar network file shares, the kind you can access using the standard SMB protocol. You know, like having a shared drive in the cloud that multiple VMs or even your computer can access.
Like a central hub for all our important files, accessible from anywhere.
Exactly. And Azure handles replicating the data and making sure it's highly available, so you don't have to worry about setting up your own file servers.
That's a huge relief, especially for organizations with lots of users who need to share files.
Now let's move on to table storage. It's Azure's NoSQL data store. It's designed for large amounts of structured data. Imagine a giant spreadsheet. Each row is an entity, and the columns represent properties of that entity.
Okay, so if we're storing customer information, each row would be a customer, and the columns would be their name, address, purchase history, and so on.
Exactly. This key value format means you can access specific data really quickly and easily. No need to search through mountains of data. It's super efficient.
That sounds incredibly useful for managing huge data sets. It's like having a personal assistant for all your data.
And unlike those traditional relational databases, table storage doesn't have a fixed schema. That means you don't have to define the structure of your data up front. You can add or remove properties as you need to. It's very flexible.
It's like a storage system that adapts to your needs. Now we have one more storage service to discuss. Queue storage. What's its specialty?
Let's say you have different parts of your application that need to communicate, but they don't need to be online at the exact same time. That's where queue storage shines. It's a messaging system where one part can drop a message into a queue, another part can pick it up and process it later, even if the sender is offline.
So it's like a reliable postal service for application components.
Exactly. This type of asynchronous communication makes your application so much more robust and scalable. It can handle spikes in activity and those long-running tasks without any problems.
Like having a team of dedicated couriers ensuring messages are delivered even if the recipient's not available right away.
And Azure Queue Storage is really reliable. It makes sure messages are delivered at least once. And it has these built-in mechanisms for handling poison messages, messages that cause problems and need some special attention.
Poison messages? That sounds a bit ominous. Tell me more.
Well, imagine a message that makes your application crash every time it tries to process it. This could happen because of a bug or just a problem with the message itself. If it keeps getting picked up, it's like a poison spreading through the system.
Okay, that makes sense. How do you actually deal with these poison messages?
Azure Queue Storage has a system. When a message fails a certain number of times, it's automatically moved to a separate queue for investigation. This prevents it from causing further issues and gives you time to figure out what's going wrong.
It's like having a quarantine zone for problematic messages. That's pretty smart.
So now we've explored the four main data services in Azure Storage. But what about redundancy? How can we be sure our data is safe even if something goes wrong?
That's a great question. Data loss is a nightmare scenario. What safeguards are in place?
Redundancy is a top priority for Azure Storage. There are actually multiple ways to replicate your data and protect it from hardware failures or even those rare regional outages.
So my data is not just sitting on a single server?
Not at all. The simplest level of redundancy is called locally redundant storage, or LRS. Imagine three copies of your data within a single data center. Even if one server crashes, the other two keep your data safe.
That covers server failures, but what if an entire data center goes offline? That's a whole other disaster.
Right, that's where geo-redundant storage comes in, or GRS. So you have those three copies in one data center, but then there's another set of three copies in a different data center miles away. So even if one location is completely wiped out, your data is still safe in the other.
Wow, it's like having a backup generator for all our data. Ensuring it's always there. Now, what about Azure virtual machines or VMs? We touched on them before, but let's dive a bit deeper.
Imagine having the power of a physical server without the hassle of managing any of the hardware. That's Azure VMs. You have complete control over the VM's configuration, things like the operating system, software, network settings, but no more physical maintenance headaches.
So it's like having our own servers in the cloud, but without all the hassle of setting them up, the cables and cooling systems, all of that.
You got it. And the flexibility is incredible. You can choose from tons of VM sizes, different operating systems, and configurations to perfectly match your needs. Do you need a small VM for a simple web app? No problem. Or do you need a giant, powerful VM for complex simulations or massive data analysis? Azure has you covered.
And these VMs live on those page blobs we talked about earlier. Like, they each have their own hard drive in the cloud.
You're exactly right. Each VM has what's called an OS disk, which is stored as a page blob in Azure Storage. And you can attach additional data disks to store app data, databases, anything else you need, like multiple hard drives for your virtual machine.
Azure VMs are like customizable building blocks for your cloud infrastructure. You can mix and match different sizes, operating systems, storage options to build the perfect setup for your application.
That's a great way to put it. And Azure makes managing these VMs really easy. You can create them, delete them, resize them, even take snapshots, all with just a few clicks.
Now, I'm curious about how these VMs connect to the outside world. Do they have their own IP addresses? How do we access them?
Every VM in Azure has a private IP address, which lets it communicate with other VMs in the same virtual network. And if you need to access them from the internet, you can give them public IP addresses as well.
So if we're hosting a web server on a VM, we would give it a public IP address so users can get to it from their web browsers.
Exactly. And Azure provides several ways to manage those public IP addresses, including both static and dynamic options.
This is fascinating. Azure VMs are incredibly versatile. But how do we connect all these VMs together? How do we create isolated environments for different applications?
That's where Azure Virtual Networks come in, or VNets. They are the backbone of your cloud networking. Imagine creating your own private network in the cloud, separate from the public internet.
So like our own little intranet within Azure.
Exactly. VNets give you control over how traffic flows between your VMs, how you connect your on-premises network to Azure, and even how you create isolated networks for different applications or departments within your organization.
We could have a VNet for our web servers, a separate VNet for our databases, and another for our developers.
Precisely. This type of segmentation really improves security and control. You wouldn't want your web servers to have direct access to sensitive financial data, would you?
Definitely not. VNets are about creating these secure, isolated spaces for our apps and data, and we can control how the traffic flows between these VNets.
Yes. Azure has network security groups. They are essentially firewalls for your VNets. You can set rules to control which traffic is allowed in and out of a subnet or even a specific VM.
So we could have a rule that only allows traffic on port 80 for our web servers and blocks all other ports.
Exactly. Network security groups are so important for securing your Azure resources and preventing any unauthorized access. It's like building a layered defense system for your cloud infrastructure.
This is getting complex. We have VNets for creating isolated networks, subnets for further segmentation, and network security groups for managing traffic flow. It's like building a fortress around our data.
And the best part is Azure makes it easy to manage. You can create and configure all of this through the Azure portal, PowerShell, or even those ARM templates we talked about. It gives you the tools you need to build a really robust and secure cloud environment.
Wow, we've covered so much. We've looked at different Azure storage types, the power of virtual machines, and even the basics of Azure networking. But one thing that keeps coming to mind is security. How do we actually protect our applications and data in the cloud?
That is the question, right? Security is so important when you're talking about the cloud. And Azure takes a very multi-layered approach to protecting your apps and that data. It's like building a castle, you know, multiple walls, a moat, guard towers, you name it.
So it's not just about locking the front door. It's a whole defense strategy.
Exactly. Let's start by looking at how to secure your storage accounts. We talked about storage account keys before. They are basically the master key to your entire storage vault. If someone got their hands on those, they could potentially access everything.
So we gotta keep them safe, like crown jewels.
Absolutely. Azure has ways to manage those keys securely. You can rotate them regularly and use a service called Azure Key Vault. It's like a super secure digital safe for all your sensitive information.
That sounds a whole lot better than storing keys in a plain text file or something like that.
Way better. Azure Key Vault has all sorts of security and auditing features, you know, hardware level security. It's the real deal.
Okay, so we've got our storage keys under wraps. What about securing data when it's moving around, you know, between our applications and Azure?
Data in transit, right. Azure has several options. The most common is HTTPS, using HTTPS for all communication with Azure services. HTTPS creates this secure tunnel for your data, which protects it from eavesdropping and tampering.
So it's like sending our data in an armored car instead of just an open truck.
Exactly. HTTPS ensures the data traveling between your applications, and Azure is encrypted and safe from prying eyes.
Got it. And what about data at rest, you know, when it's just sitting there in storage? Is that protected too?
Absolutely. Azure has multiple layers of protection for data at rest. It starts with something called Storage Service Encryption, or SSE. Think of SSE like this. It automatically encrypts each file as it's stored in your storage accounts, so it's unreadable without the right decryption keys.
So even if someone got into our storage account, they couldn't make sense of the data without the key.
Exactly. And the cool part is Azure manages those encryption keys for you, so no need to worry about the complexities of key management.
Ooh, one less thing to worry about. Now, I've also heard of Azure Disk Encryption. Is that something different?
Azure Disk Encryption takes it a step further. It encrypts the operating system and data disks of your virtual machines. Imagine putting each virtual hard drive in its own encrypted vault.
So even if someone physically stole the virtual disks, they couldn't access the data. It's like having those disks wrapped in an unbreakable shield.
Exactly. It uses top-notch encryption algorithms and works with Azure Key Vault to manage those keys securely. It's all about layers of defense.
This is impressive. So Azure has multiple layers of encryption to protect our data, whether it's at rest or in transit. It's a security blanket for our whole cloud environment.
Encryption's a big part of it, but there's so much more. Azure offers a whole suite of security features, network security groups, role-based access control, security monitoring tools. It's all about building a security-first culture.
Now, you mentioned something called shared access signatures, SAS, earlier. Can you remind me what those are?
Imagine you want to let someone access some specific files in your storage account, but you don't want to give them access to everything. That's where SAS tokens come in. Think of them like temporary access passes with specific permissions, like they expire after a certain time.
So instead of giving someone full access to our storage account, we could create a SAS token that lets them only download certain files and only for a limited time.
You got it. SAS tokens are super useful for situations where you need to grant limited access to your data. You can get really granular with the permissions and how long they last.
Brilliant. It's like having a security guard at the door checking IDs.
Yeah.
Now let's switch gears and talk about databases. You mentioned there's a difference between SQL database and SQL Server in Azure Virtual Machines. Can you clarify that?
Yeah, that was in the research materials, and I'm not quite clear on that. Is it just choosing different versions of SQL Server, or is there a more fundamental difference?
It's more about choosing the right way to manage your SQL Server workloads in the cloud. Think of it like this. SQL database is like renting a fully managed apartment in a fancy building. Azure takes care of everything, maintenance, security, updates. You just move in your stuff. So we don't have to worry about patching the operating system or setting up the database server or even backups. That sounds pretty amazing, especially for companies that don't have dedicated database administrators.
Exactly. It lets you focus on your data, not all the tech stuff behind it. And SQL database is really scalable. You can adjust the performance and storage easily, just a few clicks. So, you know, if you suddenly get a lot more traffic, you can handle it.
That's a huge plus. It's like having a database that can grow and shrink as needed. So what about SQL Server in Azure Virtual Machines then? How's that different?
Okay, so if SQL database is like renting an apartment, SQL Server in Azure Virtual Machines is like owning a house. You have full control over the operating system, the SQL Server configuration, everything, total flexibility and customization.
So if a company has really specific requirements or needs a lot of control, the VM route would be a better choice.
Exactly. You can tweak and customize everything. But of course, it also means more responsibility for managing things like maintenance, security, and updates.
It's a classic trade-off, convenience versus control. With SQL Database, we get the ease of use and scalability, while with SQL Server in a VM, it's all about flexibility and customization.
And having those choices is a good thing. Now, let's talk a bit more about SQL Database. We mentioned service tiers and performance levels. Can you explain how those work?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Are those like different subscription levels for SQL Database?
Imagine a theater, right? With different types of seats. You have the basic tier, which is like a standard seat. It's perfect for simple workloads. Then there's the standard tier. Is that a premium seat, maybe with a bit more legroom and a better view, better performance and some extra features?
Okay, standard is for those more demanding applications. But what if we need the very best, like a mission-critical application?
That's where premium tier comes in. It's like having a private box seat with exclusive access and top-notch service. It gives you the highest performance, more storage, and those advanced features like in-memory technologies.
So you're essentially choosing the right level of service based on the needs of the application. And we can easily upgrade or downgrade between those tiers if those needs change.
Absolutely. SQL Database makes scaling up or down super easy. You're always paying for just what you need. And within each tier, you can also choose different performance levels, which basically determine how much computing power, memory, and I/O capacity is given to your database.
It's like choosing the engine size for our database. The more power you need, the higher the performance level.
That's a great way to put it. And SQL Database uses these things called database transaction units, or DTUs, to measure performance. It's all about finding that balance of performance and cost.
Makes sense. You don't want to be paying for things you don't need. Now, the materials mention SQL Database V12. Anything special about that version?
V12 is like a major upgrade. It brought several big improvements, like better compatibility with SQL Server that's running on-premise. It basically made it easier to move existing databases to Azure.
So if a company is already running SQL Server in their own data center, it's easier for them to migrate to SQL Database V12. That's really helpful for businesses that are considering moving to the cloud.
Yes. And V12 introduced things like change tracking, transparent data encryption, and full-text search. It's all about bringing SQL Database closer to what you get with on-premise SQL Server. The best of both worlds.
That's great. SQL Database sounds like a really versatile option for running databases in Azure, whether you're starting from scratch or moving existing databases. Now, what about Azure Active Directory? What's its role in the Azure world?
Azure Active Directory, we call it Azure AD. It's like Grand Central Station for your Azure setup. It's Microsoft's cloud identity and access management service. It's all about managing users, groups, applications, and controlling who can access what.
So it's the digital bouncer for Azure, checking credentials and letting in only the authorized users.
You got it. Azure AD lets you create users, assign them to groups, and then give those groups permission to access certain Azure resources. You can create roles like administrators, developers, guest users, you know, and really customize their access.
Makes sense. It's creating that secure, organized system for managing who can do what. And Azure AD supports single sign-on, right? That'd be a huge help for users.
You bet. With single sign-on, your users only need one set of credentials to access all sorts of applications and services. No more remembering a zillion passwords, which is a huge security benefit too. Less chance of passwords being stolen.
A win for security and for user experience. Now, we've been talking about cloud-based Azure AD, but what about companies that already have Active Directory on their own servers? Can they use both?
They absolutely can. Azure AD is designed to work smoothly with Active Directory that's on-premise. It's like extending your existing Active Directory to the cloud. You can actually sync your users and groups between the two environments, so it's unified identity management.
That's fantastic. So companies can still use their existing setup, but enjoy the benefits of Azure AD as well. The best of both worlds.
Azure AD does more than just the basics of identity and access management. It's got things like multi-factor authentication, conditional access policies, security reporting, and more. It helps you create a really solid identity management strategy.
Really powerful stuff. It seems like Azure AD is a core part of any Azure environment, laying that foundation for security, control, and efficiency. Now let's turn our attention to developers. What tools are out there to help them work with Azure, manage resources, and build apps?
Azure has a whole buffet of tools for developers depending on what they prefer to use and how they like to work. You've got Visual Studio, Microsoft's big development environment. It's packed with features for coding, debugging, testing, deploying, you name it.
So Visual Studio is the ultimate developer toolbox for working with Azure.
Exactly. It integrates really well with all those Azure services and has specialized tools for building cloud-native applications. You can do everything right in Visual Studio, Write code, build your application, and deploy it.
Very efficient. It keeps everything streamlined and lets developers focus on building great apps. I understand Visual Studio also has this feature called Cloud Explorer.
Oh, yeah. Cloud Explorer is like having a window into your Azure environment right inside Visual Studio. You can browse your resources, manage virtual machines, monitor storage accounts, even query databases, all without leaving Visual Studio.
That's incredibly handy. It's like a remote control for Azure.
Exactly. It's all about simplifying things. Now, what about Azure PowerShell? Is that something developers use a lot?
Azure PowerShell is fantastic for automation and scripting. It's a command line interface that has these powerful commands, we call them CMDLets, for managing your Azure resources.
So instead of clicking through menus and dashboards, we can use Azure PowerShell to automate tasks and manage things from the command line. Exactly. It's perfect for repetitive tasks, deploying those complex applications, and managing large-scale Azure environments. It's like having a whole team of robots working behind the scenes to manage everything.
That sounds incredibly efficient. What about the Azure CLI? Where does that fit in?
The Azure CLI is a close relative of Azure PowerShell. It's also a command line interface, but it's designed to work on any platform, Windows, macOS, Linux.
So you could have developers working on different operating systems,
mm-hmm.
and they can all use the Azure CLI to manage things.
You got it. Consistency is key, right? And it gives developers the freedom to work how they want. So Azure offers a wide range of tools for developers, from the visual interface of Visual Studio to the power of Azure PowerShell and the flexibility of the Azure CLI. It's about giving them the best tools for the job. Now let's talk about how businesses are using Azure in the real world. It's great to understand the technology, but it's even more interesting to see how it's used to solve problems and get things done. What are some of the most common ways companies are putting Azure to work?
Absolutely. We've talked about all the different pieces. Now let's see how people are putting them together. Where do we even start?
Well, let's start with development and testing. Traditionally, setting up environments for development and testing was a real pain. Companies had to buy servers, configure everything, manage it all. It took forever and cost a fortune. But with Azure, it's a whole new story.
So companies are using Azure to build and test their applications in the cloud instead of those expensive on-premise setups.
Exactly. It's so much more cost-effective and flexible. Companies can spin up resources quickly, test their applications, and then shut them down when they're done. It's all about agility.
I see what you mean. They can experiment and try new things without a big upfront investment. And I'm assuming Azure integrates with the popular development tools and frameworks.
Oh, absolutely. Azure works seamlessly with tools like Visual Studio, Git, and Jenkins. It's a really comprehensive ecosystem.
That's great. So Azure is perfect for development and testing. It's flexible, cost-effective, and integrates well with the tools developers already use. What about other use cases? How are companies using Azure to solve real-world business problems?
Another big one is hybrid cloud. A lot of companies aren't ready to move everything to the cloud just yet, but they still want to take advantage of what Azure can do. So they create a hybrid setup, a connection between their on-premise infrastructure and the cloud. It's a way to transition gradually.
So they're using a combination of on-premise servers and Azure resources, like a best of both worlds scenario.
Exactly. And Azure has solutions for connecting those on-premise data centers to Azure really smoothly, so they can extend their applications and data to the cloud without any major disruptions.
It's a great way to start adopting the cloud gradually. And I imagine Azure has strong security features to make sure everything's protected in this hybrid environment.
Security is always top of mind. Azure has a bunch of features for hybrid cloud security, VPN gateways, express route connections, Azure Security Center. It's all about creating a secure and well-connected hybrid setup.
Very cool. So we have development and testing, hybrid cloud. What other exciting things are people doing with Azure?
Application and infrastructure modernization is another big one. Companies are moving away from old, outdated technology, and they're using Azure to modernize their applications and infrastructure. It's like giving those old systems a new lease on life.
So instead of running those old apps on aging servers, they can move those applications to Azure and take advantage of modern cloud technologies.
Exactly. Azure has a bunch of services that make this process easier. App services, container services, serverless computing. Companies can pick and choose what they need and enjoy the benefits of modernizing their applications.
It's all about choosing the right tools for the job, right?
Yeah.
What about mobile apps? I know Azure has some offerings for that as well.
You're right. Azure Mobile Apps is a great example. It's what we call backend as a service. It makes building and deploying mobile apps a lot easier. It's like giving mobile app developers a ready-made backend, all the infrastructure they need, so they can focus on creating a great user experience.
So developers don't have to worry about building their own backend infrastructure. They can just use Azure mobile apps and get things like user authentication, data storage, push notifications, and even offline sync. It's like having a whole team of backend engineers working for them.
Exactly. Azure mobile apps is a really solid and scalable platform. Makes life so much easier for mobile app developers. Now, have you heard much about machine learning? Azure's doing a lot in that space.
Oh, absolutely. I'm fascinated by machine learning. Seems like it's everywhere these days.
It is. And Azure Machine Learning is a powerful service that helps developers and data scientists build, train, and deploy machine learning models. It's all about getting insights from your data and building intelligent applications.
So instead of hiring a bunch of data scientists and building their own machine learning setup, companies can use Azure Machine Learning and get access to pre-built models, tools, and algorithms. It's like having their own machine learning lab.
That's a great way to put it. Azure Machine Learning has a really user-friendly drag-and-drop interface for building machine learning pipelines. And it has powerful APIs, so you can easily integrate machine learning into your applications. It's a really comprehensive platform.
Incredible. We've covered so many different ways Azure is being used, from dev test and hybrid cloud to modernizing old applications and even machine learning. Azure is an incredibly versatile platform. But now I'm thinking about how we actually manage all of this. It seems incredibly complex.
That's a great point. Managing a cloud environment can definitely feel overwhelming, but Azure has a ton of tools and services that can make it easier. It's like having a team of experts working behind the scenes to help you manage those resources, monitor their health, and make sure everything is running smoothly.
So it's not just about building and deploying applications. We also have to manage them and the entire environment.
Exactly. Azure management covers a lot of different things. Things like monitoring, configuration, security, optimizing your costs, and even governance. It's about having the right tools and processes in place to make sure your Azure environment is running efficiently, securely, and, you know, you're not spending too much money.
Okay, I'm starting to understand. But where do we even start with Azure management? What tools are out there to help us navigate this complex world?
Azure has a whole bunch of tools and services for managing things. They're designed to make your life easier. Think of it like having a team of specialists behind the scenes, you know, monitoring your resources, configuring things, making sure you're not overspending, and keeping everything secure and organized.
So it's not just about building and deploying applications. It's about managing them, the infrastructure, the whole environment.
Exactly. Azure management is a pretty broad topic. We're talking about monitoring, configuration, security, cost optimization, and even governance, making sure your Azure environment is efficient, secure, and cost effective.
Okay, I see. But where do we even begin? What tools can we use to manage all of this? It seems pretty complicated.
Azure offers a variety of management tools. We've talked about some of them already, but let's go over them again and really dive into what they can do.
Okay, that sounds good.
First, you've got the Azure portal. That's a web-based interface. It's like your central control panel for all your Azure resources. You can create, manage, delete, configure, monitor, you name it.
So it's a one-stop shop for Azure management.
You got it. The Azure portal is very user-friendly and has a ton of features, plus lots of documentation and support if you need it.
Sounds convenient.
Then there's Azure PowerShell. That's a scripting language and command line interface. It lets you automate tasks, manage resources, and basically interact with Azure using cloud.
It's like a power tool for managing Azure.
That's a great way to put it. It's incredibly powerful and efficient for those more complex operations, especially if you're managing a lot of resources. You can write scripts to automate things like deploying infrastructure or configuring settings. It's a huge time saver.
Automation is key, right? Now, what about the Azure CLI?
The Azure CLI is similar to Azure PowerShell. It's a command line interface, but it's designed to work on any platform. Windows, macOS, Linux, doesn't matter what operating system you're using.
So if you have a team of developers, and some are on Mac, some are on PCs, they can all use the Azure CLI.
Exactly. It's all about consistency and giving people the freedom to use what they're comfortable with. And then there's Azure Cloud Shell. It's a really cool tool. It's a browser-based shell, so you can run Azure CLI and Azure PowerShell commands right in your web browser.
So I can manage my Azure resources from anywhere without having to install anything on my computer.
Exactly. It's like a portable command center. And it supports Bash and PowerShell, so you can pick your favorite shell. Plus, you get persistent storage, so your files and settings are always there.
That's amazing. It's like having a personalized command line environment that follows me everywhere.
Azure management is a big topic, but Azure provides the tools you need to handle it.
This deep dive has been fantastic. We've learned so much about Azure, from the basics to some pretty advanced stuff. It's clear that Azure is a powerful and versatile platform.
It really is. It's amazing to see how companies are using Azure to do some incredible things, transforming their businesses and achieving their goals.
Absolutely. We've gotten a really comprehensive overview, and I feel like we're equipped to start exploring Azure and maybe even start our own cloud journey. Thank you so much for guiding us through all of this.
It's been my pleasure. Happy exploring.